Then someone came to him and said, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to inherit life?" And he said to them, "Why do you ask me about what is good? There is only one who is good. If you wish to enter into life, keep the commandments." He said to him, "Which ones?" And Jesus said, "You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness. Honor your mother and father also. You shall love your neighbor as yourself." The young man said to him, "I have kept all these. What do I still lack?" Jesus said to him, "If you wish to be perfect, go, sell your possessions and give the money to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Then come and follow me." Then the young man heard the words. He went away grieving, for he had many possessions. Then Jesus said to his disciples, "Truly I tell you, it will be easier for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. Again, I tell you, it is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God." When disciples heard this, they were greatly astonished and said, "Then who can be saved?" But Jesus looked at them and said, "For mortals, it is impossible, but for God, all things are possible." Then Jesus said in reply, "Look, we have left everything and followed you. Then what will we have?" Jesus said to them, "Truly, I tell you, at the renewal of all things, when the Son of Man is seated on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones, judging 12 tribes of Israel. And everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or children or fields for my name's sake will have hundredfold and will inherit eternal life. But many who are first will be last, and the last will be first." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Amen. The title of my sermon today asks a very interesting question. And the question is simply this: is tithing about faith or is it about finances? There are many challenging topics that we as people of God are going to have to face during this walk of faith we call life. Topics such as politics, race relations, and even sexuality. And this is just to name a few, not even scratching the tip of the iceberg. And yet, there's a time and a place for all of those conversations to be had. But there's one more topic. Whenever it comes up, we as people of God tend to shy away from it. And this, beloved people, is the topic about tithing. For as long as I have been in church, which is pretty much my entire life, whenever someone brought up this topic about tithing, some in the room automatically shut down. You say the word tithe, boom, they're done. Daydreaming and wandering off. Others will push back and say, here we go, pastors begging for money again. And then there are those, my mathematicians, my logical thinkers, they'll pull out their calculators and their pay stub and go, "Now, am I supposed to tithe on my net or on my gross?" And then we get into heated debates about that. In other words, is it my pre-tax dollars or my after-tax funds? And do I have to tithe on my 401k? And do I have... We'll take that one up another time. And then there's another group. And this is the one when they will just simply say, "Pastor, let's face reality. Due to my current financial situation, I'm just not in a place where I can afford to do that. 10% is a lot of money, and I'm just barely making it from one day to the next. And it's with that statement that I draw your attention back to something that took place last November. There was a skit where two of my buddies, Gary Hickey and Dave Bowl, got into a very interesting conversation last November. And in this skit, which was entitled Tips for the Lord, in that skit, Gary's character, who just by chance happened to be named Gary, was faced with a dilemma that most of us struggle with. And that is, the cost of living has not kept up with the amount of monies that we receive as compensation. And for many of us, it means trying to find ways of squeezing our budgets and making ends meet. And so Gary, in this dilemma, after he sat down and figured out all of his bills, decided, I gotta cut something. And that something that he was looking to cut was his tithing, the amount of money he gives towards the church. But Dave, in his infinite wisdom and good counsel, convinced Gary to realize that his pledges to God were just simply an investment in his way of saying thank you for all that God has done. And what we give by way of our tithes was described as tips for God. And that is, we're giving God our thanks for being a totally involved personal savior, T-I-P-S. And it was with that, that as we give in appreciation for what God has given us, God then shows his love by blessing us in return in many different ways. Believe it or not, that's not an original message. It's the same lesson that's being taught in the book of Malachi that was just read for a few moments ago. But you see, in that chapter 3 of Malachi, it appears that the people of Israel have once again lost their way. But this time, however, they lost their way not so much in who they were following, but they messed up their priorities in life. It seems that their priorities of what they had seemed to outweigh the priorities in their desire to follow God. And so what happened in this particular passage, as you read through it, it begins to sound almost like God threatening them or God giving them an ultimatum. But listen to it again just a little slower, and you'll see that it's a different type of message that's coming through. Beginning with verse 1, it simply says, "See, I am sending my messenger to prepare the way before me. The Lord whom you seek will suddenly come to his temple, the messenger of the covenant, in whom you delight. Indeed, he is coming, says the Lord of hosts. But who can endure the day of his coming? And who can stand when he appears? For he is like a refiner's fire, like fuller's soap. He will sit as a refiner and purifier of silver. And he will purify the descendants of Levi and refine them like gold until they present offerings to the Lord in righteousness. Then the offerings of Judah and Jerusalem will be pleasing to the Lord as in the days of old and as in former years." What God is saying in this passage is that a time of judgment is going to come. It's going to fall upon the entire world. And the things that God will be looking at are two. The first one is, how have we lived our lives? And then the second is, what have we done with the things that God is blessing us with? Since today's message is intended to focus on tithing, we'll start with the second one. And the other one about how we will live our lives, I'll preach that for the next 51 Sundays. Until we get it right. And so, with that, the question then lies before us. What are you doing with the things that God has blessed you with? Are you using them only to make your lives better? Or are you using them to help others as well? Hold on to those questions for just a moment as we turn our attentions back to the conversation that Jesus was having with that young man in our gospel reading. When the young man asked Jesus, "Teacher, what good deed must I do to have eternal life?" This is the same question that many of us have asked, but we've asked it in a slightly different form. We've asked that question in the way that sounds more like this: what do I need to do to get to heaven? And in response to that question, Jesus turns around and he says, "Follow the Ten Commandments." To which the young man said, "I have, I am, and I do. But it doesn't feel like it's enough. What else do I need to do?" And then, in response to that, Jesus then says, "Well, if you want to make this perfect," which is interesting that he chose that word. He says, "But if you wish to be perfect, then sell all your possessions, give the money to the poor, and you will have treasures in heaven. Then come and follow me." Now here's where it gets interesting, because I have heard this particular passage of scripture misquoted and taken out of context so many times that it irritates me. I have heard this particular passage of scripture preached in such a way where people say, "Well, it means that rich people can't go to heaven and you have to be poor to get in." No, that is not what it's saying. What it's actually saying is that when Jesus had this conversation with this young man, his priorities were mixed up. It seems that this young man felt that his possessions were more important to him than doing what God expected of him. "I would rather have my stuff first, and then I'll follow God when I get around to it." And in reality, what God is just simply saying in this passage is, it's not what you have, it's what you do with it. We forget sometimes that all that we have and all that we are is simply because God decided to bless us with those. Amen? And so with that, the question that then comes out is, are your possessions more important to you than the relationship that God desires to have with you? And following up with that question is, are we willing to use the things that God has blessed us with to be a blessing to others? This is why, after having had that conversation with the young man, Jesus then turns to his disciples and he says to them, and I quote, "Truly I tell you, it will be harder for a rich person to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And again, I tell you, it will be easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle for someone who is rich to enter into heaven. Not because they are rich, but because as humans, we get our priorities just a little mixed up." Now let's face it, many of you are just like me. Everything you have, you worked hard for. Everything you've got, in some cases you've had to make sacrifices and struggles for. And then to have somebody come and say, "Well, just cast all of that aside and follow God," that's a little bit of a hard thing to do. And yet, what God is saying in this is, you don't have to discard it. Just put it in the right place. Put God in position number one in your life. Everything else in position number two. And after that, everything will begin to fall into place. And so it was with that that the disciples then turned around and said, "Well, then who can get into heaven?" And it was with that that Jesus gave them a glimmer of hope when he said that we as human beings, mortals is the word he uses, We try to rationalize things and calculate things and figure things out. He said, stop. Just simply trust in God. Let God be the one who guides your decisions, who guides your choices, who leads you where God desires you to go. And then it's with that that he continues on, and he says that once we do these things, we then can now answer the question, is tithing about faith or is it about finances? Beloved people of God, when we look at all the things that God has blessed us with, whether it's personally or whether it's here collectively as a church, what we will discover is that if we put our faith, our trust, our hope in God, God will help us to figure out that balance between the service to Him and the things that we have by way of finances. Tithing is just simply our way of saying to God, thank you for all that you have done for me. For some of us, God has given us a lot financially. For some of us, God has given us a lot through our talents. And tithing is that coming together of both. It's not just about money, but it's about your physical showing up and being there, knowing that God is the one who made these things possible. I joke about this quite often, about how I love to sing. And eventually, I know they're going to get me on that choir. But nevertheless, until I go and mess up the choir and make everybody sing off key, the question becomes, if God had blessed me with a voice like Mike Malanga's, who you heard just a few moments ago, would I be squandering that talent if the only time I use it is to torture Pastor Anna when I'm in the car with her, or if I'm in the shower singing and my neighbors are banging on the walls telling me to be quiet? Or should I use that gift to bring joy and happiness, to be a blessing to everybody who will be willing to listen to it? Beloved people of God, that's all tithing is all about. It's about sharing what God has given you by just simply saying thank you for all that God has done for you. This is what he's talking about when he says, bring your full tithe into the storehouse so that there may be food in my house, and thus put me to the test, says the Lord of hosts. See, if I will not open a window of heaven for you and pour down for you blessings that will overflow. Tithing is our way of saying thank you to God for all that God has done for us. Tithing gives us an opportunity to use what God has blessed us with to be a blessing to others. For collectively, we can do so much to touch this world and to change people's lives. How many people have we encountered walking down the street that just need so much? And knowing that if we say, here, go to the Second Reformed Church, and they might be able to help you. And knowing that what you have given has enabled the food pantry, the after-school program, and other things to take place where other places can't provide those types of services. And so it's with that that I challenge you, look within yourselves. Look at how God has blessed you, and allow that to be the way that you are guided when you think about tithing. Later on, when you go home, pray about those things. And then, if you want to take a challenge, accept that challenge, that God says, I will bless you in all kinds of ways after you have blessed others, I challenge you. In your bulletin, you'll find a chart. Take a look at that chart and see where you are financially. And be prayerful about your situation. And see how God guides you to do that. And while you're doing that, don't just stop there. But also, look at what God has blessed you with by way of talents. And ask God to guide you in the way that you shall go. How can I use these to serve you in a way that it's not only a blessing to me, but that I might be a blessing to others as well. And then let God guide your response. Beloved people of God, is tithing about faith or is it about finances? The answer is it's all about faith. And so let's all take a chance. Step out on faith and see how God will use you. And the last part of that challenge is that what we'll discover is that you can't beat God giving. The more you do, the more comes back to you. How do I know? Because I'm a living witness for that. God has blessed me in so many ways, and I am grateful. And so, join me in accepting that challenge, and let's see where God takes us. Amen?
Amen. Amen.
Pray with me. Heavenly Father, we thank you so much for always being there and providing for us. And we ask, Lord, that you continue to watch over us, protect us, and to just simply help us to be faithful in so many ways. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.